This podcast brought to you by Hope 103.2.
As mums, we all know it's better to breastfeed, but for various reasons, many Australians don't manage to continue breastfeeding past 6 months. Well, some new research out of ANU has looked at the public health impact of infants being prematurely weaned over the past 5 decades in Australia. Dr. Julie Smith is one of the key researchers from the Australian Centre for Economic Research on Health from the ANU. Good morning, Julie.
Good morning, Katrina.
So what was your goal with this study? What were you trying to find out?
Well, what we wanted to do was to measure the potential impact on public health of that terrible period in the 1950s and 1960s when it was virtually impossible for mothers to breastfeed.
What were some of the factors working against mothers breastfeeding during that time?
Well, during that time, from about the 1950s onwards through to probably the mid-1970s, we had increasingly the use of the hospital system, the use of the health system, and a set of community and health professional attitudes that breastfeeding didn't matter, that the way for a baby to be fed was for the mother to have the baby taken away, fed in the nursery, given a dummy, the mother not to see the baby for a few days. And so not surprisingly, as would happen for any mammal, they weren't able to continue breastfeeding no matter how much the mother wanted to breastfeed.
It just seems so crazy now, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, I did a study a couple of years ago and I looked at the World Health Organization 10 steps to breastfeeding friendly practices in hospitals. And I looked at the practices in hospitals in the 1960s. And what you could say at that time was that they implemented every one of the 10 steps to unsuccessful breastfeeding. They completely reversed what we now know to be what's necessary for women to breastfeed.
If you looked at the case study of my own family with my brothers and sisters, I was born in 1974. My two older siblings weren't breastfed, but myself and my younger sibling were. It was just right at that time when it started to change, I think.
Well, that's right. And in fact, you were part of the sort of the 1960s generation in the sense of the unlucky ones. The ones before that in the 40s and the 30s were lucky because they were all breastfed, nearly all anyway, and you know they at least got something. So there's that gap in the middle, and this is what we looked at. That group that were not breastfed, almost universally not breastfed in the 1960s, early 70s, we looked at the data on that and we used epidemiological method to estimate the impact of that on the proportion of cases nowadays of various chronic diseases. And this is a statistical technique. It doesn't mean that everybody from that generation is going to die of heart disease, but it's a statistical technique whereby you can say, well, what do we know about the effect on your risk of getting a chronic disease of not being breastfed when you're a baby?
Okay, and so what sort of impact are we talking about on these people who are now in their sort of late 30s or early 40s?
Well, what we know, there are lots of things obviously happen to you between when you're a baby and when you hit your 30s and 40s that are going to impact on whether you've got celiac disease, diabetes and so on. So infant feeding is only one factor. But taking that and controlling for it and looking basically at people who are similar, that what the massive research shows is that there's about a 10 to 30% increase in risk in the various chronic diseases, it depends which one you're talking about, for people who were not breastfed as infants.
And were you just looking at health impacts or were you also looking at the economic effect of that?
Well, what my research at the Australian Centre for Economic Research on Health, I mean, the general program we have here is looking at the cost burden of disease, the economic burden of disease, because we know there are costs to families, not to mention emotional costs when they wean before they want to, but there are costs to society as a whole, and some of those costs can be measured. So we can get a sense, really, of what it's cost us to do silly things in the past from a public health point of view.
And have you come up with anything out of this study?
Yeah, what we've come up with is that on average, from a statistical viewpoint, something around 6 to 24% of the current chronic disease prevalence in the population could be due to lack of proper feeding in infancy. And where that takes us, obviously, the first step is to look back and say, well, what were we doing wrong then to stop women to breastfeed? Because most women wanted to breastfeed. And so the first thing is to fix that up. And in Australia at the moment, only about 30% of women are able to give birth in hospitals that are accredited breastfeeding-friendly hospitals. The World Health Organization has a scheme for accrediting hospitals that way. So only a third at the moment meet that criteria, that best practice criteria. So there's the first thing.
So we need to improve that.
We need to improve that, yep. The second thing is that's flowed into community attitudes and knowledge about breastfeeding. Breastfeeding, all mothers make milk, but actually breastfeeding is a skill. It takes commitment and energy, and women need to be supported and helped to do it by knowledgeable people. And we've lost a lot of that knowledge. One of the 10 steps for the breastfeeding friendly hospital is referral to breastfeeding support groups. Now in Australia that's nursing mothers, ABA. Mothers need to be referred to people who know how to do it. And they need to be supported by health professionals that are well trained. We had a generation of people who hadn't succeeded at breastfeeding because of the circumstances they gave birth in. And they're often not well placed to help other mothers, including grandmas, you know, who tried their best and couldn't breastfeed. We need more information and knowledge and better training out there in the community for people who are helping mothers.
It just sounds like there's quite a bit more that could still be done, because Australian women still, don't they, only average 6 months for breastfeeding. Is that right?
Well, that's right. And that sort of points to the other factor that's changed since the 1960s that actually in our study wasn't a factor behind the lower breastfeeding rates in the 60s. We know that women have been more in the workforce in the 1950s, 60s, particularly from the 1960s, but that wasn't the cause of the decline in breastfeeding. But it is potentially, it is a cause of the early weaning now. 1 in 10 women wean from breastfeeding before they needed to.
So is early weaning meaning weaning before 6 months?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's what's considered to be early weaning. All right, and so we know that work is one of the reasons that women do that, because they go back to work and they lose their milk and they find it too hard to express, and it's just all too difficult, really.
Yeah, and when I say work, what we're talking about here is that the risk factors are full-time return to work in inflexible work arrangements before 6 months. So the research shows that it's easier if they go back later, so they're less likely to wean early if they go back after 6 months, obviously. They're less likely to wean early if they work part-time or in small business, and they're less likely to wean early if they've got a breastfeeding-friendly type work environment, so somewhere they can express and store milk, somewhere private, flexible return to work hours and so on.
That all sounds logical. Thanks so much for filling us in on a little bit of your research, and I'm sure those that are interested can find out more about this. Yeah, obviously there's so much more could be said about breastfeeding and the importance of it, but thank you so much just for your time this morning, Julie.
Thank you, Katrina. My pleasure.
That's Dr. Julie Smith from the Australian Centre for Economic Research on Health at the Australian National University.
This has been a Hope 103.2 podcast. For helpful articles, station news, videos, devotional emails, and more podcasts, visit hope1032.com.au.